The first reading this morning is from Matthew 7:7-12. Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. The reading from Luke 11:5-13. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That is the word of the Lord.
As we continue on with our series on the teachings of Jesus, we are in the section of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is teaching his disciples his perspective on life and living, as well as giving some general principles to live by. Over the past few weeks, we have looked at the ideas of not worrying and not judging others. We are not to live our lives chasing after material possessions, and instead should seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And if we do this, God promises to look after our needs. And we all struggle with our character flaws. But if you are gracious to others, then others will be more forgiving of you. And so will God when it comes time for you to be judged. So understand the depth of your faults and help people from the knowledge of your experience of just how hard it is to overcome weaknesses. Be supportive, loving, caring, patient, and understanding as you walk beside people. And in having an attitude towards others like Christ, you will be showing that you are learning the ways of Jesus, our teacher, and are truly his disciples. Well, today we are looking at the very next teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And we're actually coming near the end now. His teaching today is on asking God for things. You will no doubt have noticed at a first glance at this passage that it appears that Jesus tells his disciples that they can ask God for anything and he will do it, no matter what. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. There seems to be nothing here that God will withhold from his people if they ask him. But you will also have noticed by now that you don't always get what you pray for. Ever prayed to win a prize in a draw and not won? Or the classic $1 million? Or maybe to be cured of all ills and never to be sick ever again? Or the totally reasonable request that Queensland wins every State of Origin series from here on? If only God was a genie God, your wish is my command. But God is not a genie God. God clearly is not going to do things for us which directly go against his will. So in all sensibleness, there are going to be limits to this whole ask and receive thing. But there are seemingly good things which we ask for and do not receive. Have you noticed this? What's going on here? Now, if you're wondering why God isn't answering your prayers the way you want him to, then at least know that you are in good company. Because let's take James, the son of Zebedee. He was killed very early on after Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' disciples would have been praying for him as they were for Peter. But James' life was not spared. And of course, Paul had his famous thorn in the flesh, which God refused to remove. Eventually, God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." So you are in good company. And so to understand what Jesus is teaching here about this asking and receiving, I think we need to look in more detail at this whole scripture passage. So let's do that. So the context of Jesus' teaching in Matthew is that it is one of the important teachings of Jesus, which is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's a part of this section where Jesus is giving that advice on how we relate to God, to spiritual realities and how we should relate to each other. But apart from that, it doesn't really seem to be connected with what comes before or after. So it's not flowing on from another teaching. However, in Luke, it's a different story. Jesus, in teaching his disciples on prayer, quite some time after the Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Plain, Jesus is teaching about asking and receiving as part of a broader teaching on prayer. We've heard the Lord's Prayer, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago. And then we have a parable about asking a friend boldly for food in the middle of the night for guests. And then we get this passage on asking and receiving, and which is then followed by the story illustrating how God gives good gifts. In Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus teaches about prayer, he continues afterwards about the importance of forgiveness. But in Luke's Gospel, what Jesus continues to teach about prayer is the importance of being bold and persistent in our prayers. If you are asking God for something which is genuinely good, don't give up asking for it if you don't get it straight away. God might have a timing which is to give it to you later on, which would just be the perfect timing to give it to you. So this short parable, following on from the Lord's Prayer, we see a friend ask another friend for a favor, but at a really bad time. There is a genuine need for this favor to be met. A friend has traveled to visit, has gone on this long journey, but has arrived at midnight. And so the friend hasn't got anything prepared for this. They don't have anything for them to eat. It's really inconvenient for the friend who is asked for help to meet this request for help. Everyone is in bed, it's late, the doors are locked. And then Jesus says, it isn't because of the friendship which will cause him to give you what you need, but it's your boldness to ask. The lesson we are to take from this is to ask God boldly and persistently for things. But to understand what Jesus is getting at, we also need to pay attention to what is being asked for. Because what is being asked for in this little parable is a genuine need. And so here we can see that if we ask God for our genuine needs, if we need them, God will give them to us. And so then Jesus continues by teaching plainly what he means. So, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus has set the context for this saying, which is asking for something which is needed. Now, Jesus is not repeating himself three times for effect when he talks about asking, seeking, and knocking. Rather, we are dealing with three categories of things we might need. The first is asking. We ask for things that we don't have but wish to have. The second is seeking. We seek things when we don't know where something we desire is, or we don't know how to obtain it. And the third is knocking. And we knock when we are excluded or outside, and we want to be included and to come inside and be a part of something. Ask, seek, knock. So if we ask God for something we need, and we genuinely do need it, we will receive it. If we are searching for God, we will find him. And if you want to come into the kingdom of God, to be a part of it and ask Jesus, may you come in, he will not refuse anyone entry. He will welcome you in. Isn't this amazing news? Here we have the assurance from Jesus that if anyone, no matter who they are, wants to be a part of the kingdom of God, they are not excluded and left out. All welcome. And if someone is trying to find God, they will find him. And if there is something we need that we ask God for, if we truly need it, we will have it. What this also means is that if we ask for something we think we need, but we don't receive it, it isn't because God doesn't care or isn't interested in you or doesn't consider you good enough to give it to you or that you're not worth it. It's for none of those reasons. It's only ever because at that moment in time, you don't need it. Maybe just like Paul with his thorn in the flesh, which Paul wanted to be removed, God is like, no. For you, my grace, to endure is sufficient for you and is my answer to your prayer. But as Jesus teaches, if you keep on asking God for what you think you need, and when the time comes that you do need it, God will make sure that you have it. And as we're going to see, it's actually far better than just getting what we need. But first, let's just get back to Matthew's account. Now, what we have in Matthew's account is exactly the same teaching here in this ask and receive section. And it means exactly the same thing. But it's just nice to have Luke's extra context to really help us flesh this out a little bit. Now, as we compare Matthew and Luke's account in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, and in Luke 11, 9 and 10, that's the ask and receive section, we have exactly the same wording. But the rest of the teaching of Jesus, before and after, is either in their own words or has elements of their own wording where they are slightly different to each other. Now, as I've explained before, it is rare to have Matthew and Luke use word for word the same because they don't have a copy of each other's gospel when they're writing this. They only have that unless they are using Mark's gospel. However, occasionally, we do find some short sayings of Jesus which are word for word the same, and this is one of these occasions. Now, what this tells us is that right from the beginning of the spreading of the gospel, certain sayings of Jesus were memorized, recited, and passed on word for word. Maybe they were even written down right from the beginning in a book of Jesus' sayings, but which we just unfortunately don't have. Now, a lot of scholars believe this, it's quite a popular theory that there was a book of Jesus' sayings that we just don't have. But in any case, this is one of the sayings of Jesus which was very carefully passed on word for word. Now, as I said, there is still more Jesus wants us to understand here about our prayer life and how God treats us. So let's look at what Jesus says next in both Matthew and Luke. So we read from Luke's Gospel. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Matthew has it using the examples of a stone for bread and snake for fish. Jesus then continues, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So ultimately what Jesus has been talking about is receiving the Holy Spirit, the greatest gift of God, that greatest gift that God can give, his very own Spirit to come and to live within us. God loves us more than earthly parents love their own children, and God knows what is best for his children better than any earthly parent knows what is best for their children. Jesus is teaching his disciples what will happen after his resurrection. His disciples are to share the good news about Jesus, and all those who ask Jesus for the Holy Spirit will receive it. All those who are seeking after God will find God through Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit. And those who are outside the kingdom of God but ask to come in will be included in the kingdom of God and receive the Holy Spirit. So it's clear that Luke uses these teachings on prayer and asking and seeking and knocking to come into focus around the receiving of the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit have every other spiritual blessing God has for us. So it's good for us that Luke records Jesus saying that God is going to be pleased to give his followers the good gift of the Holy Spirit. Whereas Matthew records Jesus keeping the good blessings a little bit broader than just saying that he gives us the Holy Spirit, with Jesus saying, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? What this reveals to us is that yes, we receive the Holy Spirit, but we can ask God, but what we can ask God for is not just limited to receiving the Holy Spirit. We can ask God for any good spiritual blessing, any good spiritual gift. What this means is that if there is some good gift that you want from God, and you boldly and persistently ask God for it, and if God can work that into his will for you, he will do it. He will give it to you. He will do this for you on the basis that you have the boldness to ask him for it. So if you want to be able to preach, ask God. If you want to be able to share the gospel with strangers, ask God. If you want to be able to make people feel welcome, ask God. In whatever way your heart desires to serve God, ask God. Through the Holy Spirit, God will give you good gifts, because God wants to give good gifts to his children. And this is what Jesus wants us to understand. Yes, God will give us what we need when we ask him, but he will do more than just give us our needs. He wants to give us good gifts from the Holy Spirit. Luke focusing on us receiving the Holy Spirit itself, the greatest gift, and Matthew on us asking God to give us specific gifts which come to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, God will always give the Holy Spirit to those who genuinely want to follow Jesus, and if God can work out those specific spiritual gifts you desire into his plans for you, he promises to give them to you. What a loving and caring God that we serve. So boldly ask, seek, and knock, and you will have all your needs met, and you will receive the Holy Spirit and any other good gifts God wants to bless you with. Now I would say amen. But Matthew tacks on one last thing, which doesn't seem to fit. And that is, do to others as you would have them do to you. Now what I think the logic here that Jesus is following is this. If God treats you with love and is willing to bless you with good things, then you should do likewise for other people. For in the same way God treats us, we ought to treat others. So, amen and amen.